Welcome to the second hour of Focus 580. This is Rita Schulte. I'm ordinarily the host of many pledge drives, but today I'm sitting in for David Inge, who is on a well-deserved vacation. And we are in the WILL Performance Studio today, so we won't be taking calls. We want you to just sit back and enjoy, because we have a couple of very special guests. Our principal guest today is Cindy Cashdollar. She's a 5-time Grammy Award-winning slide guitarist, and we're going to be speaking with her and listening to some music. And she's here in town for a very special event here at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. And with me is Bridget Lee Kalfas, who is going to tell us a little bit of something about wall-to-wall guitar, which is opening this evening, is it not?
That's right. This is a big kickoff tonight, our opening night party of the second biennial Wall-to-Wall Guitar Festival, of which, of course, Cindy will be a major player, performing a couple of times throughout the festival. Tonight it all kicks off at 6:30 p.m. in the lobby and amphitheater. We have 5 different musical performances for just $5.
Wow.
So it's a great opportunity to come out, enjoy our community, and hear some great music.
Oh, great. And I understand that, Cindy, this is your second time here for the Wall-to-Wall Guitar Festival?
Yeah, and I'm very happy that it is, and I hope, you know, regardless of whether I come back or not, that the festival keeps going, because everybody, Bridget and everybody, is just, it's a great team you guys have there, mm-hmm. I have to tell you, and Nick and David and Courtney and everybody, but I think it's a great festival, mm-hmm. and certainly the variety of artists is incredible, so there are shows I can't wait to go to either.
My understanding is there's about 40 different guitar players from all over the world. Different kinds of American roots music and world music, mm-hmm. all gathering together. And I just think it's just a very cool idea that somebody put this together, and I'm so glad that it's in Champaign-Urbana and that you had a chance to come back and meet us again, because I don't know if you're aware of this if you are listening to the program, but you have heard Cindy Cashdollar a lot if you are a listener to WILL. She's been on Garrison Keillor's Prairie Home Companion, mm-hmm. Asleep at the Wheel. You were with Asleep at the Wheel for like 9 years.
Yeah, almost 9 years. Hard to believe. Yes.
Yeah. And with the Kitchen Sisters.
Oh, they're great. I just love them. Have you ever met them?
No. Anything that talks about cooking, that's got to be a great idea. That just sounds like a fun thing. But Cindy's come here to share her music with us today, and that, I hope, will encourage you to go to the concert tonight. There are still seats available, I understand, and it's huge. It spills out into the outdoors. This is an enormous event here, and if you've never been there, gosh, I hope you get a chance to go, and I hope you get a chance to hear Cindy, because tonight you're playing with?
Tonight I'm playing with Sunny Landreth, mm-hmm. and then on Saturday I'll be performing with Jorma Kaukonen and Barry Mitterhoff.
Okay, shall we start out with a song? Just kind of tease people a little bit?
We can do that. Sure can.
And what is this one here?
Well, first I'll tune up, and I will say that I usually play this on a lap steel, which has another tuning, and of course I didn't want to come here hauling amplifiers. So I've taken my dobro and tuned it way down. And it's not like in it, but I think it'll be fine. What I figured I would do is a song called Steel Guitar Rag.
Okay.
And when I'm playing around Austin, Texas, which is where I live now, people see me playing steel guitar, and that's when they want to hear. And it was a big hit for Leon McAuliffe, mm-hmm. went back and when he was with Bob Wilson and Texas Playboys. But it was actually, I'll say politely, it was taken from a song. Originally, the song was titled Guitar Rag.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Great. Wow.
Fantastic.
That is, if that doesn't get you going, you're dead, honestly.
Well, it could be a little early for some people.
Nah, it's 11 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't even need, yeah, by now you've had a cup of coffee or two. I wish for a moment, just for a moment, that this was television, because this is the most beautiful instrument I have ever seen.
Oh,
it's really kind of a remarkable thing to see, and you called it a dobro.
Which is actually a trade name.
Mm-hmm.
It's a brand name that, because the original company was formed by the Dopera brothers,
mm-hmm.
and they were from Czechoslovakia, and so they took the name and put it for dobro, which actually means good in Slavic.
Okay.
So they had the original patent, and for those not familiar with what this is, it's a resonator instrument,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like a regular wooden guitar in the body, but it's got a big metal plate on the bottom bout of it, which is metallic, and underneath is a resonator cone. It works almost like a stereo speaker,
okay,
to project the sound. And I play the kind that sits in your lap. It has mm-hmm. a square neck, so the strings are so high up off the neck you can't press them down,
mm-hmm.
which is why I play with a slide bar. But they also make round necks.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, dobro is a trade name. It's Kleenex tissue, but
okay.
the proper term is resonator guitar.
Okay.
But I find that most people don't know what you're talking about when you say that. But
mm-hmm.
this is a resonator guitar that was made by Paul Beard, who's out of Maryland. There's many different manufacturers mm-hmm. these days now.
Well, it's one of the things that if folks get a chance to attend this wall-to-wall, they're going to be seeing a lot of different instruments. You might think that a guitar is either the electric piece played by Kiss and then smashed on the ground, or maybe it's an acoustic with a hole in the center and it works off the soundboard. But there are so many flavors of guitar that it's really a remarkable instrument and really quite old.
And there's going to be so many. And Bob Brosman, who is also one of the performers, has an incredible collection of these type of resonator guitars. So mm-hmm. I'm anxious to see what he brings. It's kind of tough for the touring musician now because with all the restrictions of baggage.
I never
thought
about that.
You can only bring, you can usually only check two pieces, which is your suitcase and a guitar, or, maybe try and carry a guitar on a plane with you. So, yeah, it's really hard. You can't always bring the variety of mm-hmm. instruments that you want.
Wow.
We'll see what's there.
This is a little side effect of some of that I hadn't really thought about. We were used to putting everything in a little Ziploc bag, but if you are carrying yourself and your music and your tools with you, mm-hmm. That's got to be a real challenge anymore.
It's very, very difficult. And for a while, Delta Airlines refused any instruments on board at all.
Oh.
And so the musicians union fought that mm-hmm. and finally won. But yeah, it's become, I just think for anybody traveling anywhere,
yeah.
it's become a challenge to try and pack okay. everything into one or two suitcases if you're going away for a while.
Yeah, those little Ziploc bags are
right.
just a factor of life, I guess.
And you definitely can't fit these guitars in a Ziploc mm-hmm. bag. It would make life easier. But yes, hopefully, I think regardless of all that, there will be plenty mm-hmm. of incredible instruments to see.
Great.
At this festival.
So tell us a little bit about you. I understand that you started your career in Woodstock, New York.
Yes, that's where I was born.
Mm-hmm. That's a great music town.
It was a wonderful place to grow up. There were so many artists living there at that time and so many venues to play.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't as many clubs there now.
Oh,
as you know, in a lot of towns, a lot of clubs closed down due to the raising of the drinking age and
mm-hmm.
the more expensive insurance premiums
yeah.
they had to pay. But luckily for me, when I was growing up, there was quite a lot of music, live music, and no age restriction, really. So
mm-hmm.
They even, before the Woodstock Festival, they used to have these little festivals on this woman's farm outside of town called Sound Outs.
Oh, okay.
And so when I was 13 years old, I was going to those and seeing, blues harmonica great Paul Butterfield and just all these amazing acts that,
mm-hmm.
For a 13-year-old person, it's pretty lucky.
Yeah,
I
would think.
And the first concert I saw in town had Van Morrison, Odetta, John Hammond Jr., and there was somebody else. So I was very fortunate to have that and,
mm-hmm.
and be inspired by all the different styles. There were, mm-hmm. later on, there was a club called the Joyous Lake, and so people touring or coming through New York City would come up to Woodstock, which is right in the Catskill Mountains. It's 2 hours north of New York. So I got to see
all those people coming through. So I saw Muddy Waters and Willie Dixon and Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee and Bonnie Raitt. And
oh, cool. Yeah.
So I would say that it was a great influence for me in many ways. And certainly musically, I got to be exposed to so much different kinds of music at a very young age.
Did you always have the feeling that a musician is something you wanted to be? Did you always want to do that?
Not at all.
Really? So you got the bug?
I always enjoyed playing. I started playing guitar, regular guitar, when I was 11. Mm-hmm. And I didn't take up slide or steel guitar until much later. Mm-hmm. But I always just enjoyed just playing for, I found it very relaxing. And then when people started calling me to play gigs, when I started playing the resonator guitar, because there was plenty of guitar players, believe me, around Woodstock. Then I thought, wow, this is fun. This is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. But it was never a lifelong dream. It just something that kind of slowly evolved and happened.
Yesterday evening, I was reading up about you a little bit. And there was an interview from, I'm embarrassed, I don't remember who did it, but there's this wonderful little story about you have a family member who was always teasing you that you used to play your guitar in the closet when you were little.
Oh, no. No, nobody was teasing me. I put myself there in the closet. I was so shy that I didn't even want my family to hear me practicing.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, I would sit in the closet for hours, you know. So there was there's no abusive home.
No. No, I think the point of it was is that you were so shy. But what finally teased you out of the closet?
Oh, I think, first of all, it was not the most comfortable and places to be in. And I think, yes, I grew more confident in learning how to play that literally came out of the closet. But seriously, as I just got more comfortable, I think, with hearing myself and realizing that it didn't sound that bad. That's what happened. And then, of course, there was a transition from there to an actual doing a gig, and I used to have the worst stage fright. I mean, my knees would shake. And it took a long time for me to overcome a lot of that stuff. And I'm glad I did. Some people never do, and you really miss out on the enjoyment of playing.
Yeah.
For people and for yourself.
That's got to be a real rush, a real experience to have an audience and to hear the kind of silence where you know they're really into it.
Yeah,
they haven't gone to sleep or something like that, that you know you've really got them.
It is. It's a great feeling when it happens. It's like a dialogue of a different sort.
Yeah. I bet it is. And I bet it's great fun to do. And I imagine every song is different when it's got a different audience.
Yes. Yes, definitely. And sometimes, you know, you just don't plan things. You just kind of, I think, feed off the audience. You know, Prairie Home Companion is very much like that. I mean, it's a live radio show. But they do change things, you know, in the middle. The stage manager comes out holding up a big sign saying, cut songs 8 and 10 in this segment. And, you know, I think it's Garrison and everybody just feeding off the live audience that's there. And maybe that particular moment he feels that the song we're going to do is not the right thing and put something else in its place.
So, wow.
Yeah, you can feel it.
That's a piece of that show we didn't really appreciate here. We get the finished product, and we always know. Yeah,
it's great fun to do. It's a wonderful thing that he's got, and wonderful people working for him.
Okay. Would you play another piece for us?
Sure.
Okay.
This poor string is tuned down so low,
oh.
And for all the guitarists out there, they'll know what I'm talking about. But it's really flopping. That's okay. This is a song that years ago I did a CD with the members of Beausoleil from Lafayette, Louisiana, and Sonny Landreth. I think that was the first time I actually met Sonny. And it was called Chez les Cajuns. And it was an instrumental collection of all different types of music from that area of the country. And so one of the tunes that we did was a song called Chez Seychelles. Okay. And so that's a song I'm going to do for you. Which actually Michael Doucet, who is the leader of Beausoleil and the fiddle player, told me that it was a French polka. when he heard it. And I've always wanted to hear the original version because I can't quite figure out how he changed it around, but he's very magical at doing that kind of thing.
Beautiful, almost suggests home, doesn't it? Kind of like a lullaby.
Yeah, that's exactly what
really
it sounds
pretty.
Like. Yeah,
And I would love to have, like you say, a polka suggests, coming from Chicago, it suggests something very specific to me, a polka does.
I'm sure it does, yes.
So I'm wondering how, what the original, that he transformed it into this beautiful piece.
Someday I'm going to, I mean, it's actually, as you can probably imagine, like it's a... Or, you know, it could be a number of things.
Yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece. It's a gorgeous piece.
We had a very nice time recording that CD. We were at a studio called Dockside Studios on Lafayette, and it was right on the water.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, see and hear the tugboats going by, and we had a wonderful chef come in and make us Cajun food. So
oh, wow.
I think I gained about 7 pounds that week. But anyways, very good fun.
Well, it's funny you should mention that because I had a chance to talk a little bit with Nick Spitzer, who does American Roots.
Oh, it's a great show.
Oh, yeah. And one time he said that, you know, music is good when you can cook to it. And I think he might have been channeling Pavarotti, who says much the same thing. But
right.
we picked up Slideshow a couple of while back. And I'd been, you know, listening to it in the car as driving music, mm-hmm. you know, and it never dawned on me. So I took it home and I was put it in the CD player while we were cooking. And, yeah, you can cook to this music.
Oh, good, because a lot of people tell me they love to drive to it.
Yeah.
So this is good. Now I know people are doing many more activities
yeah.
than just driving.
Well, you can tell them this is exquisite cooking music.
I'm glad to be of help.
It was just wonderful to listen to, but it's a great CD. It's great fun, and I understand this was your first solo CD.
Yes, mm-hmm. And I would like to do another one. It was something that, as a side person, because you know I'm really not a solo player. I'm just, you know, I like to be hired to perform with the singer within the band. You know, so to step out and do an actual CD where you're responsible for a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
This was kind of a scary undertaking at first. I really didn't want to do it. And then it became really fun.
Uh-huh.
Because I thought, because the producer, David Sanger, said, well, we really need a concept for the CD. It really has to have a thread of something running through it. And I thought, well, that's really hard to do because mm-hmm. there's so many different styles of slide guitar.
Right.
There's so many different sounds of it. And so that's where I thought about getting all the people that I really admired, who maybe I'd never met before or have been very lucky to work with before, to mm-hmm. guest with me on the CD. So most of the CD is slide players playing mm-hmm. all these different kinds of music. There are some vocals on it, Marcia Ball singing right. a couple of mm-hmm. songs and stuff. But so it turned out to be great fun, and it mm-hmm. was really like a potluck dinner. I mean,
another cooking analogy.
So you got me thinking about that, but it was a combination of me making a list of the artists that I wanted on the CD mm-hmm. and picking out what songs I thought would best be suited by myself and that other person, mm-hmm. or asking them, is there something you would like to bring to this big potluck dinner of a CD? Is there a song that you have mm-hmm. always wanted to record but never did? And mm-hmm. so that's how it evolved.
Were these folks you had played with before?
Some.
All of them? Oh, some mm-hmm. of them.
Some of them, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was, you know, most of it was done live as well. But it took a long time because not only of my touring schedule, but of everybody else's mm-hmm. touring schedule, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I would wait for them to come through Austin,
mm-hmm.
or I think in one instance I sent the recordings to my hometown of Woodstock, New York, mm-hmm. so I could get John Sebastian to do some stuff on one track, and my brother, mm-hmm. Russell Cashdollar, okay. played drums, and mm-hmm. so yeah, it took a while, but it was well worth it.
Yeah, somebody said it was something like 3.5 years mm-hmm. to put it all together.
It was a very long pregnancy.
Yeah. Well, it was really worth it because there's some wonderful things on here. And I noticed that in kind of listening, and I wouldn't want to imply that I'm a fine music critic or anything like that, but there's a lot of duets between mm-hmm. slide guitarists and steel.
Yeah.
Is that tough to do? I mean, it's sort of like improv in some cases, a very intimate kind of instrument. Is it tough for two people to play together?
I think it can be, because when you're playing slide guitar, you know, you're not really have no contact with fingers against the mm-hmm. neck. And so it can create some unpleasant sounds if people aren't in sync.
<You know? Ooh. laughs>
But it really, it's like anything else. I think it's like two vocalists. You know, mm-hmm. you just have to hit those sweet spots. And
okay. And
so I think that everyone on the CD, it worked really well. Mm-hmm. And it's really something you don't see or hear very much,
right.
two slide guitar players. I think there was one Western swing band back in the 50s, Hank Thompson, who had two steel guitar players, and that was very rare.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very fun when I get together with other slide players. I mean, it's just, you know, it's not an awful weird thing to do. It's just, it's kind of uncommon, that's
mm-hmm.
all.
Just sort of like jazz virtuosos trying to get together and everybody's got their own kind of stuff. So you really
yeah.
have to listen.
Yeah, you do. You have to listen to each other, which is why it was very nice to record live instead of me doing my parts and then have them, you know, come in days later and do their parts. It really, mm-hmm. you know, it's nice to sit there with people and feel them breathing or mm-hmm. watch their shoulders move, and you can almost tell what they're going to do.
Oh, wow.
You know, some of the people I'd never, like Mike Aldridge, the dobro player,
mm-hmm.
who was one of my heroes when I was learning dobro. I'd never played with him before, but I had certainly seen him at all the bluegrass festivals when I was young and starting out. And so I could tell by watching him almost what he was going to do or play. I was so familiar with his style.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it was nice to actually sit there in the studio opposite each other and play together.
And really see each other.
Mm-hmm.
How fun would that have been? My goodness. That'd be great.
We had a great time.
I want to remind our audience that this is, we are in the 11 o'clock hour of Focus 580. It's about 11:32 a.m. And we are in the performance studio here at WILL. And so we're not taking calls, but we are so pleased to have with us Cindy Cashdollar, who will be performing this evening at the opening event of Wall-to-Wall Guitar at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts on the campus of the University of Illinois. That kickoff will begin at 7 p.m., and she will be playing with Sonny Landreth, and she will be playing again on the 15th with Jorma, and I will mess this up.
No, you
Hakunin?
Won't. Kalkinen.
Kalkinen.
Mm-hmm.
Close. Not perfect. And I understand that there are still lots of tickets available to the event this evening. So please, if you can get here at all, do try to attend this concert. This is going to be a fabulous experience. And I suspect that this evening's event will be just exactly that, an experience, not simply a concert. Because it's in the building, it's outside the building, it's everywhere. And this is a big building, believe me. We encourage you to, if you're interested in tickets and performance times, to contact CranertCenter.com. Or to call the Cranert Ticket Office at 217-333-6280. And we are welcoming Cindy Cashdollar here. Now, you used a term a little bit ago called sideman. Mm-hmm. And folks who are not musicians may not know what that is. They may just enjoy the music, but have no idea what that means.
It's those of us in the band that are playing either behind the vocalist or behind the featured performer, whatever they may do, but yeah, you're not hired as the instrumentalist of the evening. Usually, you're hired to support whatever's going on musically, and yeah, sure, you get a chance for a solo, but you know, you're kind of the support, I would say.
And is this a particularly challenging thing to do? I mean, do you always know who you're going to be playing with when you're in the back band, or in the band that's, you know, backing the performer?
No, I get a lot of last-minute calls sometimes. And those are actually fun because it's really sink or swim. I mean, you don't know. Or maybe you've heard the person that you're going to play with. But but a lot of times, like around Austin, if somebody can't make it, you know, I'll be called to go in and sub. And it's fun. You have to have a very good ear.
I bet.
Or a lot of times I'll get called for a tour and have to scramble and learn the material very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully there's time usually to do that.
Well, yeah, some of you, it just sounds like such a quick on your feet kind of a job that you've got. And it just sounds like it's a whole lot of fun to do and probably really, really engaging. But I bet there's a lot of prep work that you do. Do you do a lot of, you must listen to a lot of music?
Yeah, pretty much. Sometimes that's all you'll be doing is, sometimes, some months I find myself just realizing that I haven't actually gone out and bought a CD because I've just been, you know, at home in a room learning other people's stuff all the time, you know. But I love doing it, and you certainly get to meet a lot of people on travel. I toured with Van Morrison last year, and that was quite an experience because Van Morrison has way over 300 songs in his catalog, and you had to be familiar with a lot of them.
Oh, my, yeah.
I mean, you didn't really actually... There wasn't really a list of songs that was too specific, you know. Luckily, I had a chance before I left for the first tour, to learn the material. But there's a lot of stuff, and sometimes you've never heard the song before, and you just have to use your ear. And he had an incredible band, so you can always, of course, listen to the other people next to you. But I think you do have to be able to read a situation very quickly, not only musically, but read the people that you're working with very fast.
When you're walking down a street in a music town, what kind of thing catches your ear when makes you just stop?
Oh, it could be a number of things. You mean if I'm hearing live music from somewhere? I think it's just sonically, if there's something that I've never heard before, or I hear a guitar player doing something really different, yes, that will make me stop every time. You know, or if I hear somebody on piano doing, like maybe some barrel house piano, you know, that'll make me stop.
And I don't know what that means.
Oh, just kind of like old boogie woogie, blues,
okay,
jump swing kind of stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I was reading that you were with Asleep at the Wheel for almost 9 years, and they have a particular style.
Western swing.
Western swing. Mm-hmm. Was it hard to like, reinvent and go on to do other things, to work with other people, or had you been working with others all this time as well?
I worked with other people on projects occasionally. Asleep at the Wheel was a really hard touring band, so I didn't get too much of a chance to step out there and do too many other things. But that's a good question because, yeah, for those 8.5 years, I was very steeped into playing Western swing music, which is, it's a really interesting genre of music. It's like this melting pot of jazz and blues and country mm-hmm. and swing from the 40s and 30s, but it really essentially is, as Ray Benson, the leader of Asleep at the Wheel, always said, it's jazz music played on country instruments is what it is, you know. So, and it was a very large band. We had a piano and drums, mm-hmm. bass, guitar, and then myself on steel and a fiddle and a saxophone made up what sounded like a horn section. We played parts that were a lot of the original parts that were written for horn, big horn sections back when bands could afford to have a huge horn section mm-hmm. touring with them. And so it was really an education in that type of music. And yes, when I left Asleep at the Wheel, because I just got kind of burned out on playing the same kind of music all the time, it did take a while to get back to what I used to do, mm-hmm. which was play acoustic slide. Mm-hmm. You know, I had worked with Leon Redbone for 5 years before Asleep at the Wheel. So it was hard to come out of that, which was, you know, for those not familiar with Leon, it's very old blues mm-hmm. acoustic. And so it was hard to go from that to a huge Western swing band and then right. leave a Western swing band and then kind of try and get back to what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And the first group that I did tour with after I left Asleep at the Wheel was Beausoleil. Mm-hmm. So that was learning Cajun music.
Yeah.
But they were great, and that mm-hmm. was fun. And actually, I find that most roots-based music, once you learn the meters, the tempos, it's like horseback riding. Once you get familiar with that horse and how they move, and it all becomes, you can also like kind of anticipate what's going to happen.
Okay.
It just takes a while. Because I do not read music. But I really don't think with some of this roots music, you can actually write it out. I think it'd be kind of hard to write out Cajun music.
Yeah. <You know? laughs> Right. Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of imagining hearing it, if a live band is playing mm-hmm. the same way twice.
Yeah.
If you're hearing it live. Right. It's captured in that moment on a CD maybe, but if you went to hear them, it would sound probably very different.
Yeah, very different.
Yeah.
But that's what makes it fun.
Yeah.
That's what makes you stay on your toes all the time. Mm-hmm. Definitely don't get bored in this business, as you know, because I'm sure you don't know what's coming up every day either.
No. But I would have to imagine that in the music business, it's a tough business.
Yeah, it's very tough, I think. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think it's certainly gotten a lot more complicated, mm-hmm. I think, over the years. You know, there used to be just a few major labels.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's so many.
Right.
And so many subsidiaries.
Mm-hmm.
And so many corporations constantly buying up these things, and then they split. It's like one big stock market all the
right.
time, and it's very hard to keep up with.
Track of where you actually are playing these
days. Yeah. So, the music business, I think, mm-hmm. has gotten a little more, I think, challenging for the artists mm-hmm. to make a living to travel with. But it also is great because you have festivals like Wall to Wall, which mm-hmm. brings so many different types of music together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice. You can actually, it's kind of rare to have a festival like this, actually, where you can see so many different types of music, different countries, different styles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's what is one of the benefits of living in this particular town, in this particular area, is Cranford Center is able to bring all sorts of players. That they have the reputation of being able to bring this in, and they carry it off well the first time, so everybody wants to come back the second time.
Yes, I was surprised because, you know, not every festival is very well organized, particularly when people do it the first time. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a lot of components to get together.
Mm-hmm.
But I was here last year with Red Bull Cart, wonderful mm-hmm. guitar player from Austin. He used to play with Merle Haggard for a long time.
Oh, okay.
We just had a great time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was very well done, and so I'm glad it's in its second year, mm-hmm. but you're able to bring so many such diversity mm-hmm. here for everyone yeah. to see.
Yeah, and I know that the folks there really enjoy doing it because it's tremendous support for it. And what it's really great is perhaps people would not have been able to hear or understand the difference between what's going on with guitars, and the guitars can be so many different things. And the festival brings it in, heightens awareness. I get the bookstores around here. Every one of them has CDs from all these different guitar players and pictures of them and everything. It's wonderful to go in there and see this. And it just sort of springs up kind of organically from the town, and it's a great driver here. And it was just fun to go through our CD collection at home when started looking for you and Googling your name and thinking, well, I've got a Manhattan Transfer record with her on it, and here's the CD copy.
you were
everywhere. It was very cool, and that's got to feel good that you have that you know. Sort of reserved to pull on, that there are people who respect your work and are willing to say, yeah, I'll work with her. She's cool.
Oh, that's the fun part of, mm-hmm. I think, of being this business, is especially if, obviously, I don't stick to any one style very much. I mean, today I did just because mm-hmm. of the instrument that I brought, but and just chose to do a couple of songs that mm-hmm. were just kind of soothing before lunch music. But I'm sometimes kind of thankful that I like so many different mm-hmm. styles of music, because we're getting to work with Manhattan Transfer. I mean, wouldn't think they wanted. I played steel guitar on that CD that mm-hmm. they did called Swing,
right?
And I was a bit rattled the first day, because I kept thinking, you know, why do these people want a steel guitar?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was trying to figure out how to fit in with what all those incredible vocal arrangements mm-hmm. they do. And then they wrote out the charts, and I think you could have wallpapered like a small bathroom with them, because they do these incredible arrangements,
yeah.
especially for that particular CD. It was all mm-hmm. old swing music. So anyway, one of the singers, Tim, came up to me and just started talking about steel guitar, and he knew all these old players, and I mm-hmm. thought, oh, okay, good. They know, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's all fine. They're not going to expect me to sit there and try and read everything. They just want me to go in and play.
Yeah.
So it was great. And it's great to be able to be in a business that is so diversified
mm-hmm.
that you literally sometimes don't know what you're going to be doing the next day, the next week.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give Mike, our producer, a chance to cue up the first cut on Slideshow, which is Sliding Home with Sonny Landreth, who you'll be playing with this evening. Mm-hmm. He's got the CD back there. And while he's doing that, and he can give me the high sign when he's ready with that one, because I thought that was a really nice start to that CD. I wanted to ask you, a minute ago, it occurred to me that when we were talking about the business and the way you kind of merged into it, that you're a teacher as well. You have DVDs out teaching people how to do things, and you had good relationships with people who taught you in the beginning.
Yeah, I was very lucky to have had a great guitar teacher, Billy Fair, who was just went about it in a very relaxed manner, you
mm-hmm.
know, and he played by ear as well. So he was just kind of very much about just rhythm and chords, and you know, very easygoing mm-hmm. about everything. And then my dobro teacher, Charlie Ferrara, worked in a cement plant outside of town, but his dream had always been to become a touring musician, and he couldn't because of family obligations.
Yeah.
But he was an extremely knowledgeable man
mm-hmm.
about the history of the instrument and the different styles, and so he taught me a lot, and in doing these instructional DVDs for Homespun Tapes, that's the company mm-hmm. that I work with. And Bob Rosman, who's at the festival, also has many instructional DVDs out with them. It gives you a chance to pass along mm-hmm. what you were taught, as well as the experience. And, you know, it's very hard to teach, I think, especially when it's a DVD, because you don't know who your audience is.
Yes.
You don't
yeah.
know if they're beginners or they have a certain problem with rhythm or whatever. So it's challenging to do them, but I enjoy,
mm-hmm.
You know, when I do them, I try and think back of what it was like when I was learning
mm-hmm.
and what questions that I have, and, you know, what worked for the way my teachers approached it. And
mm-hmm.
so that's how I tried to approach doing those instructional DVDs. So I have mm-hmm. two out for Western Swing steel guitar
mm-hmm.
and then two for dobro.
Mm-hmm. If you were talking to somebody, a young person, thinking about getting into the music business, thinking about any facet of it, but particularly the facet that you're in with guitars, what piece of advice would you give them about their personal habits as a musician, about their business habits, how they should go about expanding themselves when they do get a foot in the door?
Oh, I just usually tell people to... it's hard to give advice on those two points, because
mm-hmm.
everybody's got their own pace,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of difficult sometimes to get people out of that comfort zone of the way they go about the business maybe or something. Mm-hmm. And a lot of musicians are terrible business people. So I definitely wouldn't be given advice about that. Mm-hmm. I pay people to handle that. But I usually tell people to, like, for example, if they're playing guitar, not to just listen to guitar music, to open your ears and listen to piano players and marimba players and drummers. And one of my favorite musicians is Chet Baker, the jazz trumpet player. And I just love his tone and the way he approaches notes and does these beautiful melodies, you know. And I always try and stress that to people. Just because you play one instrument doesn't mean you always have to listen to other players of the same instrument. Mm-hmm. Certainly it's a great thing to do, but I always tell them to expand their ears and, and absorb other sounds, because I think it's very influential. I really do. It's like going, you were talking about cooking before, and I really think there's a good analogy between music and cooking. But it's like if you go into a market and you see all these vegetables and things and herbs you've never seen before. I mean, wouldn't your curiosity go, oh, I'd like to try this and see what this tastes like,
or
see how this can enhance what I normally do? And I think it's the same thing for music. To just, you have to keep open and want to continue to experiment with different things.
And as someone who has, you were here last, did you get a chance to see much of the wall to wall last year?
No. This year I will. Not last year. Last year we were busy.
Pretty busy.
We played at the Iron Post, and Red and I did workshops over Corson's music, and we were just going and going.
Oh,
so,
wow.
No, I did not, but this year I'm
good chance.
I'm hoping to see a little bit more,
Good. Mike's going to play a little bit for us here, and this is from Cindy Cashdollar's CD, Slideshow, and it's the first cut, Sliding Home with Sonny Landreth, who will be her co-player tonight at the Wall to Wall Guitar Festival.
Now, let me tell you, Sonny's got the power trio with him tonight. He's got an incredible band. Dave Ransom and Mike Birch, and they're just incredible to play with, so it'll be some good lively music tonight.
Excellent.
They'll be dancing. I know they will.
Oh, really? Oh, wonderful. Okay, let's hear a piece of this.
But this track is not.
It's not. Okay.
Thank you.
He's going to. And that was Sliding Home, Cindy Cashdollar with Sonny Landreth. Cindy and Sonny and his band will be playing tonight at the Wall-to-Wall Guitar Festival at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts on the campus of the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. We hope you all have absolutely nothing to do at 7 o'clock tonight, because that's when it all gets started. And we really hope you have an opportunity to enjoy this wonderful opening event for this concert. We were talking a little bit about the difference between Texas swing. It mm-hmm. is a little bit different from some of the things, and there's not mm-hmm. a lot of Texas swing in this event, but it's a little different.
No. Texas swing music is, we were talking about Western swing right. earlier, and mm-hmm. so there also is some of that on my CD. And if we have time, we can play a track called Twin Guitar Special, okay. which was a hit with Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys. And on this track, I'm playing with Herb Remington, who actually did play and tour with Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys for many years. So if you're going to cue up that track, that's what that is.
Yeah, I think it's called Twin Guitar Special. Mm-hmm. I think it's cut number 9 on Slideshow, which is Cindy Cashdollar's first foray into solo CD.
Yes, and hopefully not last. I'm gearing up to hopefully do another one, and the same premise, to okay. have a lot of other different guest mm-hmm. artists on it.
Okay, we'll hear a little piece of that Twinned Guitar Special with Herb Remington. That was a lot different from the very first piece. That was Twin Guitar Special with Herb Remington mm-hmm. and Cindy Cashdollar. That was a lot different. Now that was.
I hope people are dancing there in yeah. the listening world. Yeah, that's a pretty good example of Western swing. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, like we said before, it kind of encompasses all different mm-hmm. styles of music, mm-hmm. but it's just very danceable and very fun. And
yeah.
and Herb Remington certainly was a steel guitar hero and still is. He's, I think, about 80 or 81 years old, lives in Houston, plays in 3 different bands. I mean, we talk on the phone, and he's always busy. I mean, he's not sitting around.
No.
You know? And he also makes steel guitars.
Oh, my.
And he has instructional materials, and not on homespun. He puts them out himself. And he does a lot of steel guitar conventions.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes, at least once a year, we get to play together. We always have a really good time.
Oh, that's great. And we're so happy to have had you come to us in the studio. We've got 1 minute left. And is there as we go out, is there one piece that we kind of fun to play? I know there's a lot of real introspective stuff, but is there some kind of foot-tapping thing here?
Foot-tapping. You want more foot-tapping. Let's do...
see, we've got Speeding West.
That's foot-tapping. Put that on there. Sure.
We can maybe play a little Speeding West. That's cut number 7. Okay, we got that. We'd like to thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, it was our pleasure. We had such a great time talking to you and learning about all of this, and we hope everybody comes out to see you. venue tonight at the Wall-to-Wall Guitar Festival at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts here on the campus of the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. 7 o'clock this evening, Cindy Cashdollar and a whole lot of other folks.
A slew.
One of those undefinable measurements of people. And we'd like to thank you all. After this, we're going to play a little music right into the Afternoon Magazine with Jason Croft. Thank you for listening, and have a good afternoon.